again, everybody. This is Greg Berge here with Unfinished Music. And I'm joined with my co-host, Mark Laura. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Greg. How's it going?
Going all right. And today our in-studio guest is Speed Fossil. And Speed Fossil is Garrett Vanderbolen.
Hello.
And let's see. I'm going to try not to mess up the names. Hector St. Hilaire?
Yeah.
All right.
That's good,
on,
Greg.
So Hector's on drums. Garrett's on lead vocal guitar and later some piano. Michael Scott here on bass. Scotty. Michael Scott's from
Michael
The Office.
Different bass.
Different guy, yeah. and then Dan Jordan on lead guitar.
Hi there.
So welcome, all of you. Thanks for making the trek down here to West Gloucester. And you want to start us off with a song?
Sure. This is something that was on our second record, which was called You're So Next, and the name of the song is Everything.
Grab your shoes. I know a place where we can't lose. It's not too far from here by train. We'll make you smile all over again. So let's get going. Time is short. There is nothing that you need to bring. We've already got one another. You know we've got everything. I know a corner street cafe.
Wasn't too bad. So why don't you tell us a little bit about Speed Fossil?
So Speed Fossil kind of started, well, a long time ago, but really became a reality in 2014. I put a record together with a former member, this guy named Greg, and the record came out pretty good, and we needed to find a way to perform it and make a band. So we kind of gathered up a bunch of people, and we did that for a few years. And I ended up doing some shows with Mike and Dan, who were in another band. And, you know, like anything, sometimes people come in, people go out, and we lost a few members. And I called up Mike. I was like, hey, you know, I need a bass player. Do you know anybody? Could you recommend somebody? He's like, well, you know, I like what you're doing. I like the songs, and I'd like to do it. I was like, really? Because I had no expectation. You know, he had his own band and his own thing going on at the same time. So obviously I was thrilled. And then Dan came in, and then we found Hector through an association, believe it or not, through the Waltham Public High School network, because I was friends with somebody. I was helping teach a rock band camp, and one of the guys there, I asked him if he wanted to play drums. He said, no, but I have someone who used to be a student of mine who graduated from Berkeley who might be interested. And he suggested Hector, and I sent him the songs. And he's like, yeah, man, I like it. You know, let's give it a shot. And it just all worked out. And, you know, that was around 2018, and this has been the band ever since. So, you know, we're just lucky that we all met each other and get to play together.
Yeah. So where are you guys based out of? Is it Waltham?
It's kind of Waltham, yeah. You know, but we got the North Shore representing here. You know, Mike is a resident of Beverly now, after a long time in the Lexington-Waltham area. Yep. But the other three of us are from the Watch City. For sure.
The Watch City.
Yeah.
You got to watch yourself in the Watch City.
Oh, okay. That's what you mean.
That's why they call it the Watch City.
Opposed to the Witch City.
Yes.
Yeah, which city? Got any questions, Mark?
Well, I guess the first one was, how'd you come up with the name? That's always an interesting topic because, you know, names are a very interesting thing.
It was a name that's been lurking around since the 80s, and it was actually, you know, typical, you know, band names, you don't want to overthink them. So hanging around in a college dorm room with some other folks doing what college kids do, and the conversation kind of devolved into looking out the window, and there was an old woman, I mean, like probably like in her 80s, riding by on a bicycle, and the bicycle had an electric motor on it, right? And she's like cruising down the street with this electric motor. And my friend said, oh, look, there goes the Speed Fossil. And I thought, oh, you know, what a great name, Speed Fossil. And then as this band started coming together, you know, I realized, like, okay, you know, Garrett, you're getting old, you know, you're getting older. You are the Speed Fossil. You know, everybody's a Speed Fossil. We're eventually going to become something that someone digs up, you know, 1,000 years from now. But we become it very fast. And especially like in rock music, you know, it's so temporary or temporal and of the moment.
Yeah.
I just felt like, okay, that's a good name for a band. And that's something that I could live with. And it sounds cool and we can use it. So.
And that old woman fronted the band for what?
Right. Exactly. She used to be part of the rah-rah section. Before the show would come out, we'd have her do circles around out in the audience.
Jeez. All right. Well, you guys, you know, we're not on any time limit here, but do you want to hit us up with another song?
Sure. What do you want to do? Summer?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. So this is a song from the first record that we were talking about. This is called Summer. That first record is called Light of Day. So hopefully you like this.
Summer's coming around that bend again, and you can feel the heat. Mini skirts and summer curls to greet you. The girls are on the street.
Clear inside your mind again. It's
Big Finish. Nice job. So we're going to get to one of the recordings shortly that you sent over. But why don't we talk about the writing process? How does that work in general?
Well, basically, at this point, you know, I think we're all writers, but for Speed Fossil, I'm doing the writing. And I'll present a song, and sometimes it's just, you know, chords and melody. Sometimes it's a demo that has a bunch of parts on it. And I present it to these guys, and they give thumbs up or thumbs down to certain things. And we hash it out, find an arrangement, and then go about recording it. And recording it is like kind of building a house. You know, there's a foundation with a click track and a vocal and a guitar. And then we add everything in. And that's how the process happens. And there's a lot of collaboration, a lot of finding stuff. You know, it's really great. Everybody here is ego-free. So it makes a great environment to create music to be able to do that. Whereas, like, you know, you can just throw something out. And, you know, if you're unsure of it or you're 100% positive and somebody says, no, you know, dude, that doesn't work, that's really not going to be the part, you know, we say, okay, let's try something else. So it's a great environment to be involved with these guys. They're fantastic collaborators, and I'm super lucky. So
I'll also say real quick that Garrett is very, very generous with his arrangements and his songs, how he brings them to the band, and he does allow, you know, us, like, when we think maybe a part needs to change or something, he's like, I know it's his baby, and it's like, I've written songs too, and it's like, these parts of these songs become important to you, and they're your baby, and then somebody says, hey, dude, that's just not, you know, try something else. You have to take a step away. Garrett's really good at accepting, like, that, you know, it's not a criticism, it's more just like, hey, try this other thing, and then, like, hey, all right, cool. That work. And sometimes that doesn't work. Sometimes the original part is the way to go, but it makes for, like, a really collaborative effort, and, you know, it's all for the betterment of the music in the end, and, like, we're pretty much on the same page most of the time, so it's not like there's any radical things that don't work, you know.
Yeah, well, it sounds like it's pretty much on the same page, you know, the way you guys all play together. So we're going to play a song from Light of Day. Was that your first album?
It was, yeah.
So Absent Minded is the track. Why don't we, before we play, cue it up, why don't you tell us a bit about recording that album and then this song in particular?
Well, the album was done with a guy named Greg McCleary, and basically that came about... you know, there's a little bit more of a backstory. I give you the short bio, but I stopped playing music for like over a decade, basically. And a friend of mine kind of dragged me out. I was like, hey, man, you used to do this. How come you don't play? And he brought me to a jam session at a liquor store after hours, like the store was closed. And it was like covers and stuff. And he introduced me to this guy, Greg, who we ended up jamming with. And Greg was like, you know, I'm really, like, I don't want to play covers. I want to do original songs. And I heard you write songs. Could you do this? And I said, yes, I do. He said, okay, well, why don't you come over to my house and show me some? So I showed him, you know, five songs, and he picked three. And that started Light of Day, right? I also had leftover songs from before I stopped playing, like a decade ago. Yeah. So Light of Day is really this amalgam of the new songs with Greg and these old songs that were done in the late 90s, early 2000s. And somehow they thematically all work together. Absent Minded was one of the new songs, and it was a first for me because I didn't really present that as a guitar song. I played keyboards on it, and we created it. And that's the song, I think, that brought Mike and Dan in. You know, when we started playing, they were just like, you know, this song is such a great song. We love this song. And I can tell you that we struggled as a band for, I don't know, a year or a year and a half to figure out how to play that song after we record it, because it's a very intricately arranged song. There's a lot of overdubs and a lot of parts. But now we do it as a four-piece. And, like, it's a favorite moment for all of us, you know. We definitely, like, I think, I know I feel a lot of pride when we do it, because it was really... hard to figure out how to arrange it for four guys and still have it come off as being like that lush kind of song presentation.
All right, well, let's give it a listen. So this is Absent Minded from Speed Fossil's first album, Light of Day.
They say I'm absent minded. Sometimes I don't even know my own name. But I feel okay today. Reminded, nothing ever stays the same.
Okay, that was Absent Minded from Speed Fossil from their first album, Light of Day. And while it was playing, I mentioned it sounded a lot like the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper era. So why don't you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, so it is definitely influenced by that. And, you know, off air, we were all having this conversation gushing about our love for the Beatles and also the Beach Boys. So it's kind of like my agnostic version of God Only Knows is what Absent Minded is. Like, I really wanted to write a song that was just about, like, you know, really being in love with somebody so much and having relationship troubles, and you're going to find a way to make it work no matter what, even though, you know, you forget all the time how lucky you are to actually be with that person. So that's kind of like, you know, I'm absent-minded, you know, story of my life at least.
Yeah, so like during the break, we were talking about a lot of different things, and one of the things that really caught my attention was the how you guys collaborate together and you know, you bring the songs in like you have an idea. I mean, well, there's a lot of us. We've all played music. I was fortunate enough also to DJ on a college radio station, so that's pretty cool. But the collaboration is key, especially with egos. Now, egos can be a good thing. I mean, well, a little bit, but so I detect a lot of different styles here, you know, like I said, like some power pop, like 60s, a little bit of British Invasion, You know, different styles. I like to hear the bass, really growly sound. So if any of you guys want to chime in, like where your influence, we'll start with the bass player.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as a kid, as, you know, always, I've always been a huge Beatles fan. And I think for me, when I first heard Paul McCartney taking the bass to a very melodic place, where instead of just playing the root notes of the chords, which were sort of these more simple rock and roll bands started coming up when McCartney started, you know, if you get dive into their records as they, you know, from like Rubber Soul through Revolver up through the rest of it, it's just his bass playing is just, it's its own, it's a melodic instrument. And that's what turned me on to wanting to play the bass. I start out as a guitar player, and nobody wanted to play the bass. And I first joined a band in the, well, I've been in a band since I was like a young kid, but as a bass player, I think in the early 90s. And I just took it on. I was like, well, all right, if I'm going to play bass, I'm going to sort of emulate a McCartney-esque style of a melodic approach to that instrument. And I just love that. And I'm influenced by a lot of types of music, but... for me, he was the first guy.
He was the roots guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to chime in, so the same reason I took up bass was because of McCartney. The you know, for Rubber Soul on those latter albums, it was more than just thump thump thump, that kind of boring stuff. I cannot play that stuff, you know. And that's why I don't typically do covers. But yeah, the McCartney thing was just like it was like night and day compared to what else was out there. You know, the Beatles were broken up before I was born, so it's kind of a, yeah. You know, I was second generation Beatle fan, but you know, it makes a difference. And usually, it's the guy, the guitar player who draws the short straw is the bass player, and that wasn't my case. I mean, I voluntarily took it on. Yeah. So sorry.
Oh no, that's good. That's a great analogy, Greg. You know, it is funny because, you know, a lot of bands all of a sudden it's like three guitar players. All right, who's playing bass? You know,
yeah. And I think we all are guitar players and also bass players, yeah. You know, and it is the same story. I think Universal is like, oh, somebody's got to play bass. It's going to be you.
Well, it's funny. When I heard Speed Fossil for the first time, it was in a live, you know, we played a gig with them and he had the other lineup with him, which they weren't playing the songs like the record. And I hadn't heard the record at that point. I was like, oh, these songs are actually pretty good. I wasn't thrilled about like what I was hearing with the arrangement because he had like the wrong lineup of guys or whatever. And then I heard the record. I'm like, wait a minute. Like, this record is like super produced and like intricate and very, very smart pop, you know? And I was like, wow, this, like, you need to have that thing live, you know, with like a band that can try to emulate what the record is like. So that's what caught my attention with Speed Fossil.
Now, the only person that I think we don't know as much about is Hector. So, because Hector is the newest, and, you know, I think Mike, Dan, and I are of a certain age, and every day I wake up and I'm just like amazed that Hector is playing with us. And I'm also grateful because we need a young guy back there on the kit to keep the energy levels up for the kind of music that we do. So, Hector, why don't you tell us a little bit about your musical influences?
I don't know, man. I'm sort of absent-minded on what actually affects me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I grew up on... my dad's a big Police fan and Rush and, like, all that kind of stuff, right?
I did not know that.
Yeah, yeah. And then...
You should be doing more interviews so you can pick up this info.
I know.
In middle school, I got into, like, heavier stuff. Like, some mainstream punk rock, some, like, you know, some heavier metal stuff. Not, like, too heavy, honestly, but, like, you know, kind of, like... more poppy like metal stuff, but you know, just kind of like powerful drum stuff.
Who would you say is like one of your big influences as far as drums?
I mean, dude, I don't know. That's the thing. That's why I mentioned it at the first one. You know, like.
So as a kid, you were listening to Police, and
right. So Stuart Copeland's worked his way in there, right? And then on like the jazz side of things, I really like Max Roach's playing and like Philly Joe Jones, but I don't play like Philly Joe Jones.
Yeah, right? Yeah, but from one drummer to another, I get it. You know, I mean, Copeland, pretty amazing drummer. I mean, just the syncopation and the ability to just fit in and make the beat. And I picked up on a couple things you were saying. You listened to, like, sort of punky pop. And they could see that with the tom-toms and, you know, the fills. Not so heavy cymbal-orientated, but more drum-orientated. And, know, that's that works in this situation very well. You know, some bands really want you to play real heavy on the cymbals. Other bands want you to mix it up and change up the levels. And, you know, I definitely saw that, and that's probably the Berserkly thing.
yeah, dude. Also, recently, in college, I really got into, like gospel-style stuff and, R&B and that type of thing, you know. And that's also more, like, you know, drum-heavy than just, like, cymbal wash, you know. So it's, like, there's a range of things in there. I couldn't, like, I just don't know. I don't have a list of, you know, like, drummers. Oh. I'm like, you know.
Too many good drummers, you know. That's, it's, you know, but it's, so the schooling at Berkeley, that probably opened your mind up to a lot of different stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it was, I think the best part of it was just, you know, the peers. Because, like, you know, the teachers taught me a lot of stuff, and it was all, you know, good drum techniques and some jazz stuff and, like, you know, playing with a band and all these different types of things. But, you know, I think the biggest influence musically was just who I hung around with, you know. We would go and, you know, get in a room and do jam sessions, and you'd play the songs that you know, you'd play snippets and you'd kind of improvise a lot. I did get heavily into that sort of, like, improvisational style, you know. Even to this day, like, I have somewhat of a hard time playing, like, exact drum parts every time, you know?
Yeah, I think most drummers do.
We love that about you, Hector.
That's a good thing. As long as you know, you hit the major accents where you're supposed to and the song flows, you know. I'm guilty of that, and Greg could attest to that because we've done some stuff together, so.
Well, I can tell there's a certain improvisational quality to your style of playing, which is good. I think that's good.
Yeah, I've always been, like, really, really into that.
Keeps it healthy. Remember that, folks. Every time you see Speed Fossil, it's going to be different.
Well, hopefully the same lineup for a long time to come.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, it's as long as we don't die, we'll keep going.
Well, you'll be fossilized. So, right. Well, with that segue talking about the keeping things going, why don't we keep things going with another live song?
All right. So, you know, obviously we're playing some stuff from this first record, a couple songs. So this is another one. This is called Hanging Around. And this is I don't know, it's a fan favorite. We usually close our show with it. Not today, though. So we'll give it a shot.
Okay.
Try to play my favorite song, but Greg
All right, that was Hanging Around. This is Greg Berger along with Mark Laura on Unfinished Music from Beachbrook Studios, and we're hanging around today with Speed Fossil. How'd you like that one? That was like a yeah. professional DJ here. and
well, you got a future. You got a future in this.
Yeah, don't quit your day job. So I should give a shout out to Kristen Eck at Bumblebee Radio, because that's how you guys came across my radar. Because the week that they featured my other project, Paul's on Fire, our song Solitude is Exhausting, you guys were on there. And I don't know if it was this song. I think this came out a little bit later, but it had a video. And what got my attention further was the Rickenbackers in the video. But so thank you, Kristen Eck, for featuring the Speed Fossil.
Thank you, Kristen.
Yeah, so if you folks are out there saying, who's Kristen Eck, who's Bumblebee Radio? Well, Google it. You'll find her. She's out of Beverly, and she does a great job playing lots of local tunes. And basically the playlist from my high school and, you know, shortly thereafter days. So anyway, here we are today. So what's next on, you know, as far as projects for you guys?
Well, you know, we've got this record that we've been working on for a few years now. The pandemic kind of got in the way of putting it out. And also because I think, you know, we were talking about earlier how we have this collaborative process. We're all kind of have a little bit of perfectionist in us. So we go back and we're trying to get things to be right. You know, I mean, the record's going to be called No Anesthesia. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a reference to using this digital platform that we all record on as just like a tape machine. Yeah. So, but at the same time, we want it to be good. So if we lay down a track, you know, most of the stuff that's on this are like single continuous takes. There's no real overdubbing or cutting, pasting, or sitting there and like lining up everything. So it's going to be a very like organic feeling record. Yeah. But at the same time, you know, we'll do something and then we'll just kind of sit on it and listen to it. Like, okay, maybe we could do this better. Let's take another run at that. Or this vocal part is not quite right. And it's been great, but it's just been taking a while. But now, you know, actually today, we are at kind of this moment in time where there's just maybe two or three more vocal overdubs, and then it's done. And then we have to figure out how we're gonna put it out there in the world. So I am saying publicly that it's going to come out in 2021. And I find that it helps if you say that, then it will actually happen. Yeah. So that's what the plan is.
Feet are put to the fire. You
correct.
Say,
exactly.
Once
exactly.
Once you say something, you got to follow through.
So why
don't we give a plug to or plugs to people you work with on these recordings? Like, where do you typically record? Who helps you out?
So the recording process, you know, for about half the record, we were doing it at my home studio. And then the pandemic hit. And everyone in this band kind of stepped up and got themselves set up with the equipment and the knowledge to go record parts at their house. Mike already had a studio, but Dan got equipment, Hector got stuff, and we started recording individual parts at all of our homes. And then they'd send them in to me, and I'd do my rough mix. So the way that process works is that I make the rough mix, and then once I have that and we all agree, like, okay, this sounds good, we send it to this guy, Dave Westner, who is a fantastic audio engineer, also great bass player, great musician. And Dave basically mixes the tracks for him and does things that I can't do because he has a professional studio. So whether that be like, you know, putting compression on a part or EQ or, you know, sweetening something up a little bit, and he sends it back to us. And it is really amazing because we get a mix and we're like, oh yeah, this sounds pretty good. And then it comes back to Dave and it's just like, whoa, holy cow. You know, it's sonically amazing. All of a sudden, like, the kick drum is like your heart pumping, blasting out of your chest. The bass is fat and round. You know, the guitars are chimey. The vocals have the right effect on them. So we're really fortunate to be able to work with someone like Dave. And Dave is like super astute and super fast at what he does, and we kind of like that. You know, even though we're taking our sweet time to get this record done, once it gets into Dave's hand, it's like, you know, I send it to him and like the next day he's like, okay, here's the mix. And wow, it's kind of amazing.
Jeez. Well, speaking of mixes, why don't we give a listen to Tattoo from your was this your second album, You're So Next?
Yes, it is.
All right, so we'll give a listen to this and we'll talk about that on the other side.
Awesome.
We'll be right back.
That was You're So, from the album You're So Next. That was Tattoo by Speed Fossil. And so, again, this is Greg Berger along with Mark Laura here from Beachbrook Studios on Unfinished Music. And today we're joined by Speed Fossil, which is Garrett, Hector, Michael, and Dan. Hey, guys. Hello again.
Hello.
So any enlightening anecdotes about Tattoo?
Well, I can tell you that it was an exercise in songwriting. So that the reason that was called Tattoo is because when I originally did the demo, I did a loop from the Rolling Stones album Tattoo You and the song Slave, and it has that, you know, drum part, which is like painfully slow. That's why the song is so slow tempo-wise. We were just talking about it while it was playing. Like, we don't even play it at that speed anymore. So I was like, oh, Tattoo You. let's write a song about tattoos, because everybody has, you know, well, not everybody has two tattoos, but a lot of people have two tattoos, and a lot of people fantasize about getting tattoos. I am in the latter camp. Maybe someday I'll be in the former, but so that's how it came about.
All right. That was a great anecdote.
Yeah.
So to add that one to the register of anecdotes, I don't have a tattoo. I'm not on the want to have one list either, just to, you know.
yeah, I'm in that club too.
If anybody who wants one or has one, that's okay. You know, yeah, this is America. I'm just afraid of the needle.
So I'm not afraid of the needle.
No, Buck, you're a brave man, braver than I. So we're going to do another live song, and Garrett has shifted over to keyboards. We're going to play "Live in the Dream."
Live in the Dream, yep. And this is going to be on the No Anesthesia record. So we thought we'd put something out there before it comes out.
All right, so No Anesthesia.
Soon
let's stay awake
to be
for this
released.
One.
That's right.
Take it away.
Allegedly.
That was excellent, and that one take we just did on that song, and that was "Living the Dream," and we're all living the dream here in West Gloucester.
Yes, we are.
Unfinished Music from Beechbrook Studios. I'm Greg Verger, along with Mark Laura.
Yeah.
And we're joined today by, Stillwater.
Speed Fossil.
Oh, that popped into my head. By a Speed Horse. Speed Horse.
Speed Hospital.
Speed Hospital.
Speed
also
hospice.
Known as Speed Fossil.
Speed Hospice.
Speed Hospice, Speed Hospital, and Speed Fossil, all wrapped into one. And that's Garrett, Hector, Michael, and Dan. So, guys, why don't you tell folks where they can find you live and where they can find you recorded?
Well, depending on when this comes out, I mean, we're playing July 26th, but I don't know if this is going to...
We might just make it.
We might make it. So if we make it, July 26th, a Monday night show and a very rare, intimate, early appearance at 8 p.m. at the Jungle Community Music Club in Somerville, Mass. That is our last show of the summer. And then we really haven't booked anything out too far. I know that we're playing way out in Hardwick, Massachusetts, beautiful Hardwick, Massachusetts, in September, but nothing in town yet. But the best place, if you are have fallen in love with Speed Fossil, is to go to speedfossil.com, and that will take you to all of our music and all of our videos, too, as well.
All right. So thank you guys for coming in today. We're going to go out on Pieces of Eight, which is not on an album yet.
Correct.
The single is available, though.
The single is available, but this will be on Known As Anesthesia.
No Anesthesia.
And it's just a song that we're particularly, I guess, we're happy about. It came out good. So.
All right. Well, let's give a listen to, we're going to go out with Pieces of Eight by Speed Fossil. I want to thank you guys for coming down, making the trek up here. Looks like we still haven't got any rain yet, so you might make it out to your cars with your equipment without getting, you know, ruining it. And thank you, Mark, for coming in to help out as co-host.
Always a pleasure.
Right on. Always, so, again, this is Greg Berger here from Beach Brick Studios, and this is Unfinished Music, and this is Pieces of Eight by Speed Fossil.
Voice was so